Lord. We trust that the Lord will undertake for us in the service. And could I just say a word of thanks for the opportunity of being here tonight, sharing with you in your harvest services. And I must say the church looks really beautiful, and the folks here have really decorated the church well. And it's worth your while going around and seeing some of the exhibits. Some of them are very unique indeed. And so again, we thank you in the Lord's name for the invitation to come. And I want to leave with you just a verse that you will find in the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in verse 50, we read these words, "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Many years ago, there was a famous preacher by the name of Dr. Parker. He was a contemporary of C.H. Spurgeon in the city of London. Very brilliant scholar, expositor of the Word of God. Young man came to him on one occasion. He said, "Dr. Parker, I have a problem and I wonder, could you help me with the answer?" And he said, "My problem is this. Why did the Lord ever choose Judas Iscariot to be a disciple?" The old doctor thought for a moment, pondered upon the question. Then he looked to the young man and he said, "I have a far greater problem than that. And my problem is this. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ ever choose me?" And I can surely say tonight that every believer in the meeting tonight would sympathize with that. Why did the Lord ever choose us in salvation? For he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Now in this portion of scripture that we've just read from here, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" question that was addressed by the Savior to Judas Iscariot. You remember the scene. The Lord had gone into the garden with the 12 disciples. He left some of them at the gate, took Peter, James, and John right into the heart of the garden, and there beside the olive trees, he began to pray and he began to sweat great drops of blood. In the darkness of the night, Judas had slipped out, went to the chief priests and the leaders in the Sanhedrin, and he had worked out a deal that he would betray the Son of God for the 30 pieces of silver. And one of the ways in which he would identify the Lord was by saying, "Hail, Master," and kissing him on the cheek. And how sad it was that here was a man who kissed the very door of heaven itself and then stepped out and went out into a lost eternity. And the Bible says, "And it was night, and there was no greater, darker night in the life of Judas when he betrayed the Son of God for the 30 pieces of silver." And I want very simply to take this question tonight, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And the Lord Jesus is in the midst, for he says, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst." And tonight he would ask you this question individually, very directly, "Friend, wherefore art thou come? Why have you come even to the meeting tonight?" Now, I believe as you look at this question, we can answer it and consider it and very simply. And first of all, I would ask the question, and it's this: "Friend, wherefore hast thou come? Have you come to receive him?" You know, that's the wonderful good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's possible for men and women, young people, on the broad road that leads to a lost eternity, to turn, repent of their sin, and to claim the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. An old preacher said that the only good thing about the broad road is that you're able to turn and repent of your sin. And when you do that, friend, it's possible tonight They're coming to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him as your own and personal Savior. Wonder tonight, can you look back to a time and say, yes, there was a day, there was a moment, there was an hour in my life that I received him whom to know is life eternal. Remember, John reminds us, but to as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. And how important it is tonight that you take that step, that you make that decision above every other decision that you make in life, that you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. An old man one night attended a meeting that was conducted by Dale Moody, the great evangelist. And Moody was preaching in the words, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And for the third time, he made the invitation, gave the appeal, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And suddenly, very abruptly, an old man jumped to his feet, came out into the aisle, and he shouted out, "Mr. Moody, Mr. Moody, I'll take Jesus home with me. I'll take Jesus home with me." And that old man, whose life was scarred and marred by sin, took Christ home with him that night and had the assurance of God's salvation. Wouldn't this be a wonderful harvest service tonight if someone in this meeting realized, "I'm a lost sinner in the sight of a holy God and I need God's salvation"? And you perhaps came without Christ tonight, but the good news of the gospel is that you can receive him and you can go home knowing that Christ is within your heart and that he is your Savior and Lord. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive him? But then I would ask the question, friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come tonight to reclaim him? You see, in this service tonight, there are three classes of people. First of all, there's those who are unsaved, as we've said, are on the broad road to a lost eternity. And then there's those who are saved. They have the assurance that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if they were to die tonight, it would be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. But sad to say, there's a third class of people, and maybe you're one of them tonight, and you're here and you're backslidden in heart, and you're like Peter following afar off, and you're at a distance, you're a backslider, and you've lost your first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you get a wonderful illustration of that? When the Lord Jesus was a boy of 12 years of age, and Mary and Joseph took him to the temple at Jerusalem, and then they left him behind. And you wonder how that Joseph and Mary together made that mistake. But the answer is very simple. Because in those days, they traveled together in large groups for safety. And the men would travel with the men, and the ladies would travel with the ladies. And then at the end of the day, they would meet up. And Mary took it for granted that Jesus was with Joseph. And Joseph took it for granted that he was with Mary. And supposing him to be in the company, they went the day's journey without the Savior. And they had to retrace their steps, go back to Jerusalem where they'd lost him and left him behind, and there reclaim him and have him once again in their company and fellowship. And perhaps you're like that. You've got a relationship. Yes, you were saved, but it's a relationship without fellowship. You're backslidden, and you're cold in heart and far away from the Lord. That hymn we were singing tonight, "That Fount of Every Blessing," was written by a man who became a backslider and got away from the Lord. And one day he was sitting on the train and on a journey, and a young girl, started to sing that hymn and gave the challenge. And as he listened to the words of his own hymn, he was awakened and restored to the Lord. And maybe you're backslidden tonight, and I want to say to you that the Lord can restore the years that the locusts have eaten and the vessel that is marred. Thank God he can make it a vessel, a fit for the master's use, and he can recommission you into his service. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Are you backslidden tonight, cold, away from the Lord, living a wasted life as a believer, and you've forgotten that only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last? And thank God tonight that that blood that cleanses a sinner can cleanse a backslider, and you can look again towards God's holy temple like Jonah, and the joy of God's salvation and a new commission can rest upon your life. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive him? Have you come tonight to reclaim him? Oh, I believe we'd have revival in Ulster, and our churches wouldn't hold the people if only we could see the backsliders restored to the Lord. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Tell me tonight, have you come to resell him? Have you come to resell him? You know, every time the message of the gospel goes forth and the challenge is given, the possibility is there's someone in the meeting, and like Judas, they're going to betray the Savior for their 30 pieces of silver. W.P. Nicholson, the great Ulster evangelist, could be very blunt, to say the least, when he was preaching. And one night he was preaching, and he said, "There's a man here." And you can just picture him in his accent. And he says, "There's a man here tonight." And he says, "You're better than Judas. You're a better man than Judas ever was." And everybody was sitting there stunned in silence. And then Nicholson went on to say, "Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, but you tonight are doing even better. You're selling the Lord for the old cigarette, and there's a packet of cigarettes between God and you and Christ and God's salvation." And you know, it's possible tonight that you can sell the Savior, betray him, commit the awful act of Judas when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for those pieces of silver. You know, the sad thing about Judas is this, that Judas never lived to spend one piece of that silver. You remember how that he was filled with remorse. He went back to the priests and the rulers, and he said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." And he was filled with remorse for what he did. And they said, "What is that to us?" And Judas went out and left the religious leaders behind, and he took a rope and he put it on a tree at the side of a cliff, and there he committed suicide. He hung himself, and the rope or the branch broke, and he crashed down, and body crashed into pulp at the bottom of that cliff. But as his body hit the ground, his soul had already gone out into eternity without Christ. No wonder the Lord Jesus said of Judas, it would have been better for that man that he had never been born. Let me tell you, friend, tonight, on the authority of God's word, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to be shunned. And it's one place or the other in eternity. Doesn't matter what the minister said at your funeral. Oh, there's more lies that told in funeral services than anywhere else by ministers. I think of one, and he got up, and he was waxing eloquent about this man and how wonderful he was. And this happened recently. And a man stood up in the congregation, and he said, "It's a pack of lies you're telling us." He says, "We knew the man. We know where he is. You're not telling us the truth about the man." What a rebuke for a man of the dog collar to receive, not telling the truth. Oh, we would be faithful to your soul tonight. The Lord Jesus said, "Flee from the wrath to come. O ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? And friend, people want to go to heaven and they want to hear about heaven, but you need to know about the alternative. And Jesus said that if you die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot be. Oh, turn ye, why will you die? Look to Christ and find eternal life in him. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive him? Have you come to resell him? But let me ask you this question tonight. Have you come to release him? Do you remember when Pontius Pilate was faced with Christ and he hadn't the courage to make the decision himself? And he looked at the crowd that was present in the judgment hall and he said, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And with one voice in unison, they cried out, away with him, away with him. His blood be upon us and our children. And Pilate damned his soul by letting the crowd make the decision. And he tried to get out of it by releasing onto them Barabbas and choose Barabbas or Christ. And they said, no, we want Barabbas. And they condemned Jesus to death. And it says that Pilate released Barabbas onto them. Wonder, is that you tonight? Love to be saved. Oh, I would really love to know Christ as my Savior and peace with God and to be assured of a home in heaven. And if I was to die tonight, I would be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. But yet the crowd is between you and the Savior. And I want to tell you something tonight, friend. If you're waiting for a time when it'll be popular to be a Christian, you'll wait till the Lord comes. And if you're waiting and you're letting the crowd make the decision, then you're not only a fool for life, but you'll be a lost fool for all eternity. Don't let the crowd make the decision. Remember the night I got saved in the Emmanuel Mission in Roslyn Street? They were singing that hymn in the third verse, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And my heart was a battlefield because I thought of all the people that I worked with. And if I have to go back into work and face them and tell them that I've got saved, I'll look such a fool. But that night, God gave me grace to step out of the back seat, walk to the front, put in the crowd to the one side, and I was able to receive Jesus as my Savior. And you know what happened in work? They gave me a week, or you'll be back at the card school. And then they gave me a fortnight, and then they got tired and they gave me up altogether. Do you know why? Because the Lord had given me eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, thank God tonight you can be saved. Put the crowd to the one side. It takes a man or woman to go against the tide and to be able to say, Christ for me, Christ for me. But then just one final thought, and you've been so patient tonight. Could I just say this, friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to reject him? Have you come to reject him? Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you've made up your mind. It doesn't matter how my mother has prayed for me or how what the preacher says to me tonight. I'm not getting saved. You know, I think of the late Ivan Thompson. You knew Ivan, great brother in the Lord. And Ivan was in an evangelistic campaign. There was a wee woman in the meeting and she broke her heart and she prayed and she wept for her boy to get saved. And going out of the meeting, Ivan took her son by the hand and he said, do you not think it's time to get saved? your mother's praying for you. And he laughed out, he sneered at the idea of his mother praying. And then Ivan, as quick as a flash, said this, son, you remember this. Your mother's prayers will either bless you in heaven or blister you in hell for all eternity. That's a solemn thought, friend, tonight. In spite of a mother's prayers, you're going to reject Christ and go out refusing him as Savior and Lord. You know, I think of a gospel campaign, and God moved mightily by his spirit, and there was a leading businesswoman I stayed behind, and she asked if she could speak to the preacher. And she said, you know, I would like to get saved, but I want to ask you a question, and it's this. She said, I'm a businesswoman, and I make a lot of money, and a lot of it doesn't go through the books. She was fiddling the tax and the government. And she said, if I become a Christian, well, I have to give that all up. And the preacher looked at her and he said to her, well, it's just like this, you're like Judas. You've got to choose between the silver or the Savior. That's your simple choice. And she looked at the preacher as cold as could be. And she said, if I've got to choose the silver, I'll choose the silver. And she went out into the darkness of the night, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the harvest time, we often think of the words, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you're sowing the seeds of rejection tonight. And the time will come when you'll reap the harvest, and we stand before a holy God and we give account of the deeds done in the body and what we did with Christ. And if you have sown the seeds of rejection, you'll reap the harvest, and God will, in the person of his Son, will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, tell me tonight, have you come to reject him? Oh, don't reject him. Come tonight, swing open the heart's door and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today, come in to stay. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And thank God the promise is true. Him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Face up to the challenge. Accept Christ as your Savior. And thank God there'll be rejoicing, not only in this service, but there'll be rejoicing with the angels in heaven for all eternity. And if you forget everything that I've said tonight, don't forget the challenge of God's word. Friend, wherefore art thou come? I'm going to hand the meeting over again to the minister. Thank you, brother.